This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions were inspired by Deborah Day and her dad. Thank you, Debbie. Question number one. Mr. Acker Bilk and his orchestra's Stranger on the Shore peaked at number one in 1961. What instrument did he play? Hint, it's the lead instrument in this song. Was that A, the trumpet, B, the clarinet, C, the drums, or D, the piano? Acker Bilk, Stranger on the Shore. What instrument was that? And question number two, what's the name of the song popular at wedding receptions today, which was popularized by Etta James in 1960? Was that A, You're My Best Friend, B, All You Need Is Love, C, At Last, or D, Save the Last Dance for Me? Reception song, popular today, but released in 1960. Its title? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 23rd of April. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1792, that the French national anthem, La Marseillaise, was composed by Captain Claude Joseph Rouget de Lille. 1792, today. And it was 87 years ago today, 1934, that Lorenz Hammond was granted a patent for the pipeless organ with a tone wheel generator. 1934, today. The Chicks, There's Your Trouble, introduces our country music news. It's entitled, The Chicks. The country trio made their long-awaited return with their eighth album, Gaslighter, a raw and powerful reproach to cheaters everywhere. This is written by the singer and songwriter St. Vincent, published in Entertainment Weekly, January 2021 issue. Annie Clark, who performs as St. Vincent, co-wrote Young Man and played guitar on Texas Man, both off Gaslighter. Here, the Grammy-winning singer-songwriter describes the everlasting appeal of the Chicks. Emily Strayer, 48, Natalie Maines, 46, and Marty McGuire, 51. Great artists always find a way to be there when you need them. They tell us it is going to be okay. That don't worry. They feel that way, too. The Chicks have been those artists for us for years. Relatable, yet tough. Funny, yet wise. Sassy, and yet utterly sincere. They make truth you want to harmonize to in a car full of tears. Truth you want to dance to at Texas weddings full of friends and family and booze. truth you want to sing along to in an arena full of lighters. The chicks are the girl gang you want to commiserate with about a heartbreak. The gang you want to join to help give an ex what is coming to them. The girls you want to have hook their arms in yours and pick you up when you think you just can't fight anymore. They made Gaslighter as all of America was being gaslit by the powerful. They told us it's going to be okay. They feel that way, too. And we will get through it, like always, together. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, A Guide to Two New High-Res Classical Streaming Services. This is published in Strings magazine, July 14, 2020 issue, Lorenz Vitez. Although on-demand streaming is still in its infancy, it has become a major resource for students, professionals, amateurs, teachers, and other music lovers serious about classical music. The field has grown to include a number of so-called high-res streamers that deliver audiophile-quality digital sound on multiple devices and across multiple platforms. At their best, on the right equipment, these services can reproduce the sheer beauty and spatial information of analog vinyl as it was at its peak in the 1960s, and also realize the best that digital CDs were meant to be. Two recent European entries with strong classical music content, Qobuz, spelled Q-O-B-U-Z, from France, which streams classical along with 11 other genres, and Idagio, spelled I-D-A-G-I-O, from Germany, a solely classical enterprise, join what is becoming a crowded field that already includes Amazon Music HD, Tidal, Primephonic, and Deezer Elite. Qobuz and Idagio offer deep classical music catalogs, excellent search functions, impressive amounts of metadata, integrity of sources, booklets when available, good customer service, free apps that deliver around the globe, magazines, outstanding sound, and in the case of their high-res offerings on the right equipment, demonstration quality sound. Both sites are alive with curated channels that make you feel like you're part of a vibrant and knowledgeable community. Both streamers seem determined to make classical music more accessible and competitive in a very competitive marketplace. Qobuz offers the Studio Premier package at $14.99 a month, which includes unlimited high-res streaming from 50 million tracks, including roughly 2 million that are classical. There is a month's free trial to begin with that service. Idagio offers a free radio version. Idagio Premium at $9.99 a month, which includes unlimited streaming of its 2 million tracks. Classical streaming services already exist in a rapidly changing competitive market. How have these fledgling companies fared as the coronavirus pandemic swept the world, profoundly impacting the music industry? We've been watching usage change as the pandemic has spread. We didn't see any immediate spikes when this happened, but we have seen an overall increase in streaming. As we face this biggest crisis of our generation, we are starting to see how the normal, everyday activities in society have been impacted. This makes us believe that people are driven more toward the essentials than social activities during times like these, as those are simply not sustainable. While people shift to staying indoors, we have noticed that it has led to some to use other forms of entertainment, turning more to streaming music such as classical and top jazz. Joel Gilberto's Wave introduces our jazz, blues, and musical news. Forget debuting on a big stage. This musical is made for earbuds. This is written by Mark Kennedy, published in the News and Observer on the 11th of April, 2021. New York. Huge waves couldn't stop Tory Murden McClure from becoming the first American to row across the Atlantic Ocean solo in 1999, so it's only fitting that a global pandemic couldn't stop a musical about her feat from making it to audiences, just not the way it was originally intended. Roe, which was scheduled to make its debut at a theater festival in Massachusetts last summer, is instead making its world premiere as a recording available on Audible. This whole process has been like a slow blossoming, said Dawn Landis, who wrote the music and lyrics to about 35 songs. It's really become a completely unique piece of art, which I never really could have even imagined. Roe was released Thursday and instantly became a rare work, a world premiere musical that's never first had any sort of stage production. Without visuals, the team had to create space and time with audio cues. To complicate matters, all 10 actors and 9 musicians were never in the same room together due to COVID-19 restrictions, and none of the music had been recorded prior to the lockdown. Never more than 3 actors were allowed at a time in Audible's Manhattan studio to record their parts, and each was in an isolation booth, listening to each other on headphones. The musicians potted together and had their parts mixed into the final product. Rehearsals were done by Zoom. You couldn't dream this up. A show that's about isolation. Having each person involved on the team be in an actual isolation while working on it. Roe represents the first ever traditional book musical for the world's largest producer of audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. Theater Audible's executive producer said, "We're going to do some more musicals, so I figured, why not do this first one? They can only be easier from here on out." The saying, "If you ossify, you die," reflects the story of Roe. It reminds you of the resilience and singular power of the human spirit to persevere. The musical frames rowing across the ocean as McClure attempt to face and defeat helplessness. During her journey, McClure reads Moby Dick and quotes from F. Scott Fitzgerald and Aristotle. She communes with the spirit of Amelia Earhart and listens hers learn of her life through flashbacks. Throughout is the sound of water, seabirds, and oars pulling through the ocean. If the skies darken on show nights, so be it. The musical has endured worse. The whole thing happens outside anyway. What else you got? Drenching rain? We're going to use that. Agora eu já sei da onda que seguiu no mar e das estrelas que esquecemos de contar. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Voiced Notes, The Power of Amy Lee. How the Evanescence lead singer ditched her insecurity and brought her ferocious vocals to life. This is written by Sydney Buxbaum, published in Entertainment Weekly, April 2021 issue. Evanescence front woman Amy Lee has one of the most potent voices in music, but it took a long time for her to feel comfortable using it. I have to admit, I was pretty insecure in the beginning. I always felt like I wasn't that good, she tells EW. I started playing music with people in what eventually turned into a band when I was 13. And I was singing only because it was the vehicle for the poetry that I used to write. It wasn't until Lee, 39, joined choir in junior high and ditched her original dream of becoming the next Mozart that she built up the confidence necessary to bear her soul through her singing. "The more I did it, the more positive attention I received about my voice," she says. Lee's voice has never sounded rawer or more passionate than it does on The Bitter Truth. That comes out on March 26, her first album of all new music in 10 years. Written partly before the pandemic, the 12-song project explores grief, fighting for the truth, and not giving up even when things feel hopeless. Suddenly, there was this fire, this aggression, just frustration and rage at the things that we were seeing go down, says Lee. So she took off her shoes and jewelry, her recording studio ritual, and sang to feel a catharsis she hopes the album brings others. It's really, really healthy to be able to say that everything's not okay. You have to let it out. Lee had arrived at a similar epiphany as a teenager when she learned to lean into her vulnerability. More than being in a band, what really was the beginning of the band was me recording myself, she says. By harmonizing with her own voice and pushing herself to achieve the type of natural emotion conveyed by singers like Bjork and Portishead's Beth Gibbons, Lee found the freedom to channel herself honestly through singing. "I truly see it as an expression of myself," she says about her voice. "It's not a job to me, it's my heart, and I definitely hear a physical difference in my voice now. When I sing, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not nervous. I feel a spiritual, centered transcendence. Something takes over, and I lock in, and I know I'm where I'm supposed to be." Fleetwood Mac's Albatross introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Q&A, Mick Fleetwood, the drummer on paying tribute to Peter Green and Fleetwood Mac's future. This is written by Andy Green, published in Rolling Stone magazine, February 2020. Mick Fleetwood should be relaxing. Fleetwood Mac just wrapped up a 13-month world tour, their first since parting ways with Lindsey Buckingham. But the 72-year-old drummer is already deep into planning his next project, a tribute concert to Peter Green, who co-founded Fleetwood Mac and wrote many of the group's early classics before being sidelined by mental issues. The show had been set for February 25, 2020. "I wanted people to know that I did not form this band. Peter Green did," Fleetwood says. "And I wanted to celebrate those early years of Fleetwood Mac from 50 years ago. Peter Green hasn't been seen much in public over the past decade. When is the last time that you and he spoke?" the questioner asks. "I spent a day with him about a year and a half ago. He's not the Peter that I knew, clearly, but he played acoustic guitar. He loves painting, and fishing is his hobby. It's no secret that he took a left turn and never came back, but he's okay. He also has really little or no ego at all, which is unbelievable. You want to go, 'Do you realize what you did?' And he just says, 'No, no, yeah, I suppose so.'" The questioner asks, "I've heard there's talk of a Fleetwood Mac Broadway musical." "Well, there's always been talk about doing something like that. I hope it can happen at some point. A lot of people, understandably, would say, 'Wow, that would make a really good musical.' It is an incredibly interesting story, especially the period around the Rumors album, but it's not formed." Finally, the questioner asks, "A lot of bands are doing farewell tours now. Can you ever see Fleetwood Mac doing one of those?" "I suppose it would be the right thing to do, to let people know you're not wanting to play again. We're not at that point, but if we get there, it's a pretty good gracious thing to let people know they'll never see the band play again. Raleigh Durham Reel introduces our local music news. It's an article from pinecone.org from the 12th of April, 2021. From North Carolina's own Balsam Range and a celebration of the 50th anniversary of Tommy Edwards and the Bluegrass Experience to rising stars like Amethyst Kia and Fireside Collective, Pinecone is bringing live music back to downtown Raleigh's Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts this spring and summer. The concerts will be limited capacity in Raleigh Memorial Auditorium with socially distant learning and seating, and masks are required. There will also be a live stream ticket option. The full 2021 Down Home Concerts lineup includes on Friday, May the 7th, the Gibson Brothers with Trey Wellington Band. Friday, May 14th, Balsam Range. Thursday, May 20th, the Bluegrass Experience 50th Anniversary featuring Tommy Edwards, Snuffy Smith, and fiddlin' Al McCandless. And Thursday, June 10th, Fireside Collective with Graham Sharp. Thursday, June 17th, Amethyst Kia with Alexa Rose. And finally, on Friday, July 9th, Molly Tuttle. All concerts begin at 7:30 p.m. in Raleigh Memorial Auditorium in the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. Ticket purchase options include, well, call Pinecone's box office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 919-664-8333. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, Mr. Ackerbilk and his orchestra, Stranger on the Shore, peaked at number one in 1961. What instrument did he play? Hint, it's the lead instrument in this song. Was it A, the trumpet, B, the clarinet, C, the drums, or D, the piano? Correct answer? Answer B, the clarinet. As noted in songfacts.com, Ackerbilk was Bernard Stanley Bilk of Somerset, England. Acker, by the way, is the term for friend. He took up the clarinet in the UK Royal Army in 1958. He formed the Paramount Jazz Band. This is an instrumental song featuring Bilk's clarinet. Bilk, who died in 2014 at age 85, claimed that he wrote this song in a taxicab, originally named Jenny, after his daughter, on his LP Sentimental Journey. The song's name was changed when Bilk played it as the theme song for a new children's TV show, Stranger on the Shore. The show, which aired on the BBC, was about a French au pair, a girl living in England. She was the stranger on the shore. The closing credits were over film of her standing on the beach, looking out to sea towards France. 6 months after hitting number one in England, it went to number one in the U.S., where Billboard named it the number one single for the year 1962. It topped the charts for 7 weeks. This was the first song written and performed by a British artist atop the U.S. charts. The closest any U.K. artist had come to that point was Lonnie Donegan, who hit number five in 1961 with Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight? Andy Williams and the Drifters each recorded vocal versions of Stranger on the Shore. And the answer to our second question, what's the name of the song popular at wedding receptions today that was popularized by Etta James in 1960? Was it A, You're My Best Friend, B, All You Need Is Love, C, At Last, or D, Save the Last Dance for Me? Correct answer? Answer C, At Last. As noted in songfacts.com, the songwriting team of Mac Gordon And Harry Warren wrote this in 1941 for the film musical Sun Valley Serenade. It was performed by Glenn Miller and his orchestra with vocals by Ray Eberle. And the song became a major big band hit in October 1942. Etta James recorded this in 1960, shortly after signing with Chess Records. Leonard Chess thought James was a classy ballad singer and saw pop crossover potential in her. It was his decision to back her with violin orchestrations for this song. Her version went to number 2 on the R&B charts, with lyrics about finding that one true love and a classical feel. This is a very popular wedding song. Her stage name came from switching around the letters in her first name, Jamesetta. It is her most enduring song, but is not typical of her work. Many of her songs have more of a blues feel and often contain darker lyrics that reflect the challenges that she faced. Some of the artists who have recorded this song include Cyndi Lauper, Celine Dion, Gladys Knight, and Joan Osborne. Christina Aguilera and Jason Mraz have both covered it in concert. It was used in the 1998 movie Rain Man in a scene where Tom Cruise teaches Dustin Hoffman how to dance. So let's end today's program with Etta James at last. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long until next time.